The Christian faith is a gift of God's grace. The Christian life is a gift of God's grace. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And that means that our Lutheran piety is also a gift. All too often we see it as another work of the law, something that we must do. Instead, Christ meets us there with his word and spirit, and in our daily devotional life, he teaches us what it is to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for Lutheran piety Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Française, français. Mes chers compatriotes de métropole, d'outre-mer et de l'étranger, à l'issue d'une longue confrontation démocratique, vous avez choisi de m'accorder votre confiance. Et je tiens à vous exprimer ma profonde gratitude. C'est un grand honneur et c'est une grande responsabilité. Car rien n'était écrit.
It's a little bit from the victory speech from France's president-elect Emmanuel Macron. That was an election that many people here in the United States, especially the press, wanted to cast as, what, an allegory for our recent presidential election, a political response to? They wanted to mix it up together with the Trump election and with Brexit. Is that the way we should understand French politics as it's playing out in the presidential elections? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, May the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the French presidential election. A little bit later, listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line responding to some of your questions, your comments about the show that accumulate in our email inbox. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., part nine of our series on Christian devotion, what to pray for is the subject today with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of that new resource called the Devotional Challenge book. You can join us over the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC. And our beloved on-demand listeners, all of our listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, you can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the French presidential election, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. He joins us live from France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Many wanted, on this side of the Atlantic, wanted to portray the French elections as kind of political commentary on the U.S. presidential elections. Is that true?
No, not in the slightest. The U.S. presidential election has to be understood in terms of the democratic theory that exists constitutionally in the United States. That is a limited democracy where the states register actually the ultimate vote. In other words, it isn't a universal democracy. It's a limited kind of democracy. Thus, California, all those people in California registered for only a certain number of electoral votes. In France, the election is a universal democracy. It's done in two stages. The first stage eliminates all the candidates except two, and the final stage, which took place yesterday, was a runoff between the two candidates that remained after the first run. It's been a very strange election, and let me tell you why. Before the election, 2 months ago, everyone was convinced that the conservative candidate, that party is now called the Republican Party, had a shoe in. He couldn't possibly lose. And the reason is that for 5 years we have had a hideous socialist president, Hollande, who has done everything wrong and managed to alienate everybody. And this is an achievement. He did this. So it appeared to be a clean-cut election, and the Republicans, those to the right, were going to win. Well, then a humorous French magazine, Le Canard Enchaîné, the duck in chains, that's been around for a very long time, did some investigative journalism, and they discovered that the Republican candidate, François Fillon, hired his wife as his assistant, she was paid when he was in the government, in Parliament. She was paid as his assistant, and it was evident that she didn't do any work at all. And this spread all over the country, and Fillon had presented himself as the ethical, moral candidate. He looks moral. He looks ethical. And his wife is English, and he speaks English, just looked like the most distinguished person imaginable. Anyway, this involved a legal action against him, all sorts of mess, and the result was that he lost in the first round of the election, all right? And nobody wanted the socialist candidate, and so the candidate that came out as the predominant person in the second round was a gentleman by the name of Emmanuel Macron. And this fellow had been in Hollande's socialist government for a while. He resigned from that. He was the minister of economy, the economic minister. He resigned from that, started his own political party, and ran, then rose to the top. And that left on the second round only Macron and the far right, Marine Le Pen. And this was very interesting because Marine Le Pen was a bit like Trump. That is to say, she is a nationalist. She hates international involvement. She would take France out of the euro, et cetera. Okay? Well, everybody then ganged up against her. Even the socialists and the Republicans said on the second round, we've got to vote for Macron simply to prevent Le Pen from becoming president. And the end result yesterday was that Macron got 2/3 of the votes and Le Pen got 1/3. The remarkable thing about this is that for an extreme rightist candidate, something like Trump, to get 1/3 of the votes is just amazing. And she says that she's going to be the thorn in Macron's flesh during the entire 5 years of this next presidency.
What were the major issues that the candidates were differed on and that the French people really seemed to care about?
Well, the major issue for the average Frenchman was certainly the economy. The reason being that the economy has not been doing well. The reason for this fundamentally is the work code, the Code de Travail, which is over 1,000 pages long and is primarily a socialist document. And what it does is to protect the worker against the boss. And just as one example, in restaurants, it is almost impossible to fire anybody. And the result of this is that restaurant owners, and we know several, are close friends, they do not want to hire anybody except on temporary contracts because they're not going to be able to get rid of them. And economists have said that because of the restrictions in this work code in France, it's crippled the French economy. People just don't, bosses just don't want to hire people, and they don't want to expand because of the restrictions that are placed on anything and everything that the bosses do. The code is orientated toward the worker. So that was one consideration. Another consideration is immigration. Le Pen, dead against immigration, very much like Trump. Macron, who is now president, takes a different view. He takes the German view that it ought to be possible to prevent the illegal immigration but still allow a decent amount of immigration from other places. Macron is a Catholic. He chose to be baptized as a young person. His family was secular, but he chose to be baptized as a Roman Catholic, and his position is that theological law, of course, goes far beyond national law, and it is the ultimate law. It's the transcendent law. But when you are in a country, you've got to abide by the law of that nation, whatever it happens to be. I mean, really, this is the Romans 13 position, and his view is that it is vitally important that there be a pluralistic society, but a society in which everybody is under the national law and doesn't go beyond it. Those are a couple of the issues.
Well, the issue of immigration, I'm curious about that, Dr. Montgomery, because, of course, for all of Western Europe, immigration sometimes simply means immigration from politically and religiously Muslim-dominated countries. There are other people immigrating, obviously. But the troublesome part of it is Muslim immigration. What would you have to say about that?
Well, that certainly is correct. And the advantage France has over other European countries is that France has a much stronger policy of integration than any other European country. I mean, when you come into France, if you want to become a French citizen, you have got to be able to speak the French language, for goodness sake. There is a language examination in connection with immigration. The French school system is very, very rigid. It's a rigid school system, much like the school system that existed in the United States a generation ago, the system under which I grew up, where, you know, you got pounded on if you didn't learn your three R's, and if you weren't able to handle those areas of education that are necessary for a citizen. So this is unlike England, where England has been very relaxed in its immigration policies, and there are all sorts of people in England whose English is terrible. When we lived in England, when we went for medical care, for example, undoubtedly these people knew medicine, but my heavens, their English was so bad you couldn't communicate with them. They were doctors from, I don't know, Pakistan and I don't know where else. You know, Ugu-Bugu, I guess. And this was a real problem. That doesn't exist in France. So I think the French have a better chance of controlling the immigration situation than the other European countries.
So it sounds like the difference there is that France, for various cultural reasons, aside from political reasons, tends to want immigrants to assimilate into French culture and society as a requirement.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. And it seems to me that that's correct. If a person is going to go to a foreign country, they can jolly well assimilate to what that country represents. If they don't want to do that, then why the blazes are they going? And if the reason is simply because they can earn more money, I don't think they have a right to enter.
Then what do you foresee for, I take it this is a 5-year term for the French president, what do you foresee by way of changes that might be enacted politically during this time?
Well, that's extremely hard to say. And the reason is that Macron is going to have to create a a government that is a composite of the Republican Party here, the party to the right, and the socialist to the left. His own party that he created shortly before the election isn't going to have very many people in parliament, in the legislature, and therefore he's going to have to work out composite arrangements of some kind. He also is certainly going to have to pay attention to Le Pen. I mean, the gal got a third of the vote on the second round, so he's certainly going to have to allow some representation of that party, I should think. And that means that it's really unpredictable as to what's going to happen. His own position is a centrist position, but the fact that he served in the socialist government makes one a bit suspicious that he's probably going to operate centrist left rather than centrist right. But nothing could be as bad as the previous 5 years. We were just talking with the nurse from my wife today, and she said, "Well, there's a change now, and things are going to be better." I said, "Listen, if they had elected a rhinoceros as president, things would be better, because the previous president was that bad." So it's really going to be very, very difficult to predict exactly what will occur. One encouraging thing is that when Macron was Minister of the Economy, economic minister, he did favor relaxing a lot of the restrictions that had been leveled against the bosses, against the owners of businesses and the like. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging. He's kind of a strange bird. For example, he married his high school teacher, who is 24 years older than he is. All right, and this was against his parents' wishes, oddly enough, huh? But this marriage has stuck, and he is a believing Roman Catholic, and surely that's something. But you know, he is a rather strange bird. He is the youngest president in modern French history. I believe he's the youngest head of the French state since Napoleon. Now, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But it certainly means that there are going to be some very, very interesting changes going on. And I think the only thing we can do is to keep a sharp eye on what's cooking. It's going to be a very interesting 5 years. Incidentally, if Le Pen had been elected, if she had been elected, one thing she would have done was to eliminate dual passports. What that would have meant was would have been that I would have had to give up my U.S. passport in order to hold a French passport, which really would have been awkward. Very awkward. I'm not terribly unhappy that the election went the way it did.
You mentioned earlier the need for Macron to as I would say, kind of cobble together by way of consensus a government, which is required in a parliamentary system. You simply can't govern because no party tends to dominate. It tends to be more than just two. What would you say, by way of conclusion here, to if you had an opportunity to speak to U.S. lawmakers, where our two-party system has been, well, effectively kind of shut down by a unwillingness to compromise in government?
Well, if you have a two-party system, as exists in the United States or in France, you've got to be willing to compromise. You have no choice. The British system is different, you know. The British have no presidential elections or elections for prime minister. In Britain, there is an election for parliament, and whatever party gains power, then the party decides who will be the prime minister. And the prime minister is functioning effectively as a president. So in the UK, it's never possible to have um, a a president, as it were, a prime minister, who isn't of the ruling party, of the majority party. And that means that you don't have that problem. And that's an interesting notion. It would be similar to a situation where, let's say, in the United States, Congress was elected, and then Congress chose the president. See, from the majority party. Now, there are a ton of different ways you can run governments, and I'm not saying that that would necessarily be better. But the difficulty in France and the difficulty in the United States is that you can end up with a president who really doesn't have any great influence on the legislature. And then you can have the president and the legislature at each other's throats for the presidential term. And during that time, hardly anything gets done.
Dr. Montgomery, before we let you go, it is too late to attend this summer's International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. But what can you tell us about the 2018 Academy?
Well, people are already registering for 2018. And in 2018, among the faculty, Angus Benuge, who is the head of the philosophy department at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and is the president of the Evangelical Philosophers, the society, the National Society of Evangelical Philosophers. And he's taught for us on a number of occasions, and he's absolutely marvelous. So he will be on deck, as will Craig Parton and myself. Our advice to people who tend to be slower than the average turtle, we suggest that those people register right away for 2018. We have only 20 places, and we have 10 scholarships of $1,000 each, and those scholarships are granted in the order of application. We don't wait until a later time to do this. So those scholarships disappear fairly quickly as people register. So it's really smart to register for 2018, even though it's a ways away. These summer academies now, gosh, we're into the 21st year of the academies. These are simply wonderful. They're the only place that you can get 2 weeks of intensive work in the defense of the Christian faith directed toward evangelism. And I think I can mention this over the air. The theological background of this is Lutheran. It's a Lutheran background. But we have people coming from all over the place. This summer, for example, we have people from Union of South Africa. We've got people from the Caribbean, from Germany, but they're all committed to evangelism and to the defense of the faith even before they come. So it's a wonderful social experience as well.
Folks, you can learn about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. John Ward Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ Center and Circumference. He joined us from France. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome, as always.
On the other side of the break, we're going to turn to your email and to the Issues Etc. comment line, your questions, your show suggestions. It's a way of joining the conversation even when you're not listening in real time. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. We'll get to some of that and respond after this.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.